Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Last Sunday was a beautiful hanging of the green service we did here. And we took time to obviously light up our church here. And in that service, there was a lot of beautiful songs that communicated the gospel. One that really touched my heart was one that Sister Melissa Hall sang. And the name of that song was called Behold. Say Behold. That was a beautiful song. In fact, I went back and listened to it a couple of times over the weekend. But that word, behold, it actually appears in the Bible numerous times from the Old Testament into the New Testament. For instance, it appears even in the story of Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, that word, behold. You find it recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, where the angel of the Lord said, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. You go over to the Gospel of Luke, and you see this same word again being used, where the angel of the Lord said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." That word, behold, means to look and to see something or someone that is amazing and incredible. Behold means to look and see at something or someone that is amazing and incredible. It also means to, that word behold means to pay attention to what's about to be said, or pay attention to what you're about to see, because what you're about to hear or about what you're about to see is going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. That's what that word behold means. And so as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, I want us to behold and just see how amazing and incredible Jesus is. I want us, as we celebrate Christmas, to behold and see how great God is, and see that He is the great gift giver Himself. God Himself gives us life. Aren't you thankful for that? That the breath that you have in your lungs today, God gave you that breath. God gives life. God gives mercy and grace. God gives us joy. God, He gives us peace, and He gives us strength in our life. He gives us hope. He gives us healing. He gives us His Holy Spirit. Praise God. He gives us comfort. He gives us all good things. But I want to just say to you this morning, on this Sunday, as we prepare for Christmas, I want you to behold that the greatest gift from God is His one and only Son, His amazing and incredible Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. He is the greatest gift. Praise God for the Lord. Now, just follow along with me here real quickly. 700 years before Jesus, this amazing and incredible gift, came to this earth, 700 years before that, there was a prophet named Isaiah, and Isaiah was inspired by the Holy Spirit with a prophetic word about how great God is and how amazing and incredible this gift, His Son Jesus, is going to be to us. This prophecy came to Isaiah. This word came to him. Let me just give you a little bit of context before we move on. This prophecy that I'm about to share with you It came to Isaiah because at that time, there was a king in the land of Judea. His name was King Ahaz, and King Ahaz had some tension in his life. How many of you know what it's like to have some tension in your life? And King Ahaz, and not only the king, but really the people in Judea, they had some tension in their life. And the reason why was because right above the kingdom of Judea, there was Assyria, and Assyria had made alliances with other countries, and they were coming to Judea, and they were going to attack it and to destroy it. And King Ahaz was just unraveled in his life. He had a lot of tension because it didn't look good for him, and it didn't look good for the people of Judea. And God gives Isaiah, this prophet, this prophecy to speak to him. It's a prophecy that brings comfort and strength and encouragement to King Ahaz, but it's a prophecy that wouldn't be fulfilled into the New Testament. But how many of you know that's how prophecy works? When you speak prophecy, it brings encouragement now, but it's also things that can unfold and come to in the future. And this is what the Lord was doing through Isaiah to King Ahaz, because King Ahaz had a lot of tension in his life, rightly so, because of what he was facing, a very dark time, discouraging time for him and the people. And this is what Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Lord, said to him. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In other words, King Ahaz, the Lord has given me a word to give to you now, but it's also a prophetic word for in the future. But you can apply it to your life right now, even though this kingdom have formed alliances to come against you and the people. You can know today that there's a God who's going to give you wisdom. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace, and he's going to help you. And even in that moment, even though it's a prophecy for the future, it brings encouragement to the king. It brings encouragement to him. And so as we look at this prophecy, I want you to notice three encouraging Christmas blessings that, especially when you have a lot of tension in your life, about the Christ child Jesus. Here's the first thing I want you to see. I want you to behold and see this child is God's gift to us. He says, for to us a child is born, a son is giving. Christmas is about giving the greatest gift, which is Jesus. And we relate Jesus as a gift, and we need to do that because in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as a gift like over 40-something times. Paul mentions one of those times in 2 Corinthians 9:15, where he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Paul was saying that Jesus is beyond words. You can't really describe him. He's so amazing. He's so incredible that he is beyond words. In other words, that's what he's saying. He's an indescribable gift. I believe that when we all get to heaven, and what a day of rejoicing that's going to be, I believe that one day when we all get to heaven, part of heaven is going to be discovering more and more about this indescribable gift, Jesus. We're going to discover more about the majesty of this gift, the magnitude of this gift, the mercy of this gift. We're going to discover more about the grace of this gift, the goodness of this gift, the greatness of this gift. Praise God as we celebrate Christmas that Jesus is our indescribable gift. He's amazing. He's incredible. He's beyond words. Paul says that Jesus is indescribable, but God gives us these simple words for all people so we can understand who Jesus is. When even in John 3:16, he says, "For God gave his one and only Son, his amazing and incredible Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Christmas is about God giving Jesus the indescribable gift to all people. I hope and pray, friend, that you will behold Jesus this Christmas, because he's God's gift to you and to me. He's God's gift to you and to me. Whoever you are, I don't care. Whosoever, he's God's gift to you and to me. I want you to behold as well that the child not only came to be a gift to us, but the child came to lift our burdens. Verse 6 says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. What does that mean? What does it mean when it says that the government will be upon his shoulders? What it means is that Jesus is eternal king, and that he rules and he reigns. That means that his kingdom will never end. You can't vote him in and you can't vote him out. His kingdom will always rule and his kingdom will always reign. Hallelujah. Even in the Christmas story, it says in Luke 1:31-33, that you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Praise God for that, friend. Praise God that his kingdom will never end. And the Bible says that there's coming a day. In Philippians, it mentions this, that Jesus is highly exalted. He's on a throne over heaven and earth. He has authority. And there's coming a day when every individual that's ever been born and lived, they're going to bow down before him, and they're going to acknowledge to Jesus that Jesus is the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. And my thing is, why not go ahead and do it today? Make that decision today, because Jesus Christ the Lord, he rules and he reigns forever over all things. Well, how does he rule and reign? Well, let me tell you how he rules and reigns. It tells us here in Isaiah, that same chapter, Isaiah 9, one of the ways that the Lord will rule and reign forever is that he will lift the heavy burdens off their shoulders. I want to tell you and remind you this Christmas that Jesus does not lay burdens on you. Jesus lifts burdens off of you. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? He doesn't lay burdens on your life. He lifts the burdens off of your life. And I don't know what burdens that you're walking around with today and carrying, but I want to just say this. Please hear me. I want to encourage you that whatever has you weighed down in life, whatever is causing tension in your life, you need to make a choice today to allow Jesus to lift that burden off of you. The Bible says that you are to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. It says cast what? All your cares, every care. Not some of them and not a few of them, but you cast all your cares and all your burdens onto the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, as you prepare to move toward Christmas, what has you tense in life right now? What has you weighed down in life right now? What burdens are you carrying? Friend, whatever it is, my prayer is in this service today that you would just give it to the Lord. You would give it to the Lord. He doesn't want you walking around carrying it. He don't want to lay anything heavy on you. He wants to lift it off of you, but you got to let him do it. You got to let him do it. So God, do that today in this place. You behold him because he can lift the burdens off of you. You need to behold him because he's the child that came to meet your needs. How many of you know that we are some needy people? Come on, look to your neighbor and say, you're a needy person. Now, some of you are getting some enjoyment out of that. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. We are truly, though, needy people. We're needy people. But God knows that we're needy people. God knows that you and I are needy people. He knows that we need a Savior to rescue us and forgive us of our sins. He knows that. And that's why he sent Jesus to be our Savior. in Isaiah 9, this prophecy that he gave to King Ahaz, he reminds this king and he reminds us through this prophecy that there's four names and how the Lord can meet the needs in our life. And those four names are Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And as you walk toward Christmas, you need to behold that Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. He's the one that can counsel your life. He's the one the Bible says that is the source of all wisdom. The Bible says that Christ is the power and wisdom of God. The Bible says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is everything you need. And Isaiah is declaring this prophecy to this king. Can you imagine? He's got all these alliances coming against him to attack them. And he's being reminded, you know what? God can give me wisdom. God can give me wisdom. He can show me what to do. He's the treasure of all wisdom and power. He's everything that I need. Even Solomon, who was known for his great wisdom, he declared in his own life that he had searched all the things of the earth. And at the end of his life, he says that the greatest wisdom is knowing the Lord, who is the source of all wisdom. You can go out there and you can grab and you can gain and try to get this and try to get that, but none of it's going to satisfy you, Solomon says. The only thing that's going to satisfy you is having the Lord, who is the Lord of all wisdom, the Wonderful Counselor in your life. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as Lord and Savior of your life? Is he your Wonderful Counselor? Because when you make that decision to follow Jesus, he will counsel you. But without him, you're never going to truly understand what you're here for. You're never going to truly understand what the will of God is for your life until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and declare him as Savior to be the Wonderful Counselor for you. That's how he meets your needs. He meets your needs by giving you wisdom. I wonder how many people here this morning, you need some wisdom for some decisions you have to make in your life. He's Wonderful Counselor. You need to behold as well that Jesus is Mighty God. In the Hebrew, you know what that translates to? It translates to he is Warrior God. He is Warrior God. Jesus is the one who fights our battles. Come on, friend, it's a spiritual battle, but Jesus has already won the victory for us through the work of the cross and through his resurrection. And we can declare that Jesus is the one who fights our battles. Jesus is a victorious king and warrior. He's Mighty God. He has no rival. He has no equal. He will never be defeated. He's Mighty God who has conquered sin and death. And we give him praise today for that victory that we have through him. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give up and quit because Jesus is fighting my battles. Hallelujah. And you need to also behold in times of tension that Jesus is Everlasting Father. And thank God for fathers. Thank God for good fathers. Man, I was Thursday. I went out to the cemetery there, headed to Goldsboro to put flowers on my dad's grave. And man, I just sat over his grave there for just a couple of minutes and prayed and just began to thank the Lord, because he was a tough kind of man, but he was also a tender man. And I just thank God for a good father that loved me and helped me and loved my family. But a good father will love us. A good father will help you. A good father will be concerned about the little things in your life and the big things in your life. A good father will protect you. A good father will provide for you. A good father will never abandon you. A good father will never forsake you. And listen, I have some good news this morning. Behold, Jesus is Everlasting Father who loves you. He will never leave you. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. Hallelujah. My dad, they laid him in a grave. His body's in a grave. He's in heaven. Jesus is alive today. A grave couldn't hold Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a father, everlasting father, ever-present father that shows compassion to us. He cares. Can you imagine King Ahaz? He's an everlasting Father who cares for me. The little things in my life, the big things in my life, and whatever. Listen, this is something I've struggled with for a long time. You may be thinking that because of your past and your personal setbacks in your life, these little personal defeats that you've walked through, the weaknesses that you have felt in your own life, that Jesus would never have anything to want to do with you. I know for me, I've struggled with that. I've talked to people who have struggled with that. You may think in your mind, well, I can see how Jesus can love that person, and I can see how Jesus can use that person, but I don't feel that lovable, and I don't feel that usable. But friend, let me tell you this morning, that's not how Jesus rolls. He is everlasting Father. He's just like the father of the prodigal son. He's always looking for you. He's always loving you. He's always ready for you to return to him. He's ready to rejoice over you. And you need to just right now today, whatever your struggle is in your life, that Jesus is everlasting Father. He's ready to respond to me. He's ready to rejoice over me. He's ready to help me. He's ready to comfort me. He's ready to show compassion to me, even at my lowest in my life. And even when I feel alone, I have an everlasting Father. Man, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Come on, don't give no golf clap. If you don't clap, clap for the Lord. Hallelujah. And finally, I'll tell you here, you need to be whole because he's the Prince of Peace. Now, I think we have this mindset that when we think of peace, we think of the absence of problems and pain and there's not going to be any conflict in our life. That's not what it's saying right here, that he's the Prince of Peace. That word there, it actually, in the Hebrew, it means not that there's going to be absence of conflict, but what it means is there's going to be the presence of someone amazing and incredible with you. That's the Prince of Peace. And you need to understand this morning, friend, that peace is not the absence of the pain and the problems and the conflict and the tension. Peace is really the presence of Christ, who is amazing and incredible, who is with you no matter what you're walking through. Peace is the presence of Christ in your situations, whatever has you tensed up. Peace is Christ with you in the storms of life. You remember when he spoke to the storms and to the wind and the waves, and he said, "Peace, be still," and everything calmed because he's the Prince of Peace. They're still in the storm, but he speaks to it, and he's there with them in the presence of the storm. Jesus even said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." You know why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That supernatural calmness that you can all and myself can experience, it starts when you make peace with God, and then you receive the peace of God, and that happens as you repent of your sins, and by faith, you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and when that happens, the Prince of Peace, he fills us with his peace from the inside out. Hallelujah. Does anybody know anything about that peace that comes with God? Hallelujah. I was thinking back, even preparing for this message today, over this past year, the many people that I've had an opportunity to minister to through counseling, some of those people have gone through some things in their life that has brought much tension. And the tension has robbed them from this peace. Instead of being full of God's peace, they're full of panic. And a lot of people I've met with this past year, they've been in some very discouraging places, just low places in their life. And if something didn't change, there's few of those that I've met with that I felt like maybe they might even give up on life. And I'm thinking, you know what they need? They need peace. They need the peace of God. They need the peace of God. They need the Prince of Peace to come in and just feel them right now. Yes, it's bad. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it hurts. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there's pain. There's conflict. But even in the midst of all that, you're right there with me, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and you're filling me and helping me so I can keep going on, Lord. If the team would like to come and get ready to just play something here as we transition to prayer time. You may know some people today. How many of you know some people today that could use some peace from God, the Prince of Peace, the tender touch from the Lord? Listen, I'm reminded, his touch is a tender touch. It's a tender touch. When I was standing over my dad's grave on Thursday, his hands kept coming to my mind. He had the hardest, calloused hands. But when he grabbed you with them to hold you, they were just tender, tender hands to me. And I can remember there, even at the lowest, when he was still at home and the hospice care was there with him, and he would be there. And one of the favorite things he loved to do was lay there on the little couch there, the thing they had set up for him. And he wants you to put either golf on or fishing channel. Neither one he was good at. He thought he was perfect at it. But I just remember sometimes sitting there by him and holding his hand. It would be so hard, so callous, but it was so tender. And boy, I miss holding that hand. I miss that hand. But that's Jesus. Scarred hands, but tender hands. Tender hands. A tender touch that'll fill you with peace. A tender touch that'll give you wisdom. A tender touch that'll help you through the battles in your life. A tender touch that's full of compassion. That'll let you know I love you. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. And it can happen in your life. This prophecy can bring hope to your life through the power of God. The power of God can turn your life around. Jesus, listen to me. Behold, behold, look and see and pay attention to someone who is amazing, someone that is incredible. He is indescribable. He's beyond words. But you know what? I know him. And he's my wonderful counselor. He's my mighty God. He's my everlasting Father. He's my Prince of Peace. But most of all, he's my Savior. And he's my Lord. I hope he is for you in your life. Jesus is an amazing, incredible gift. But you have to receive the gift. That song, Behold, when she's singing it, there's a place in there that talks about receiving him. Just like a gift, you have to receive the gift. And when you receive Jesus and if you will, just kind of you unwrap him in your life, you allow him into your heart, your life, then you're going to change. But you have to receive him. You have to receive him. This past Friday evening, Kelly, I definitely don't want to embarrass you, my sister, but my Kelly Brock, I saw her Friday night. And she began to share this prayer request, praise report with me, and I'm not going to use any names. But the Lord opened a door for Kelly. Was it Friday? On Friday, this 23-year-old young girl who is in a meth addiction, who really thought she was ODing at the time. I know they was trying to get medical care to her. And the Lord opened up the door for Kelly to get there before anybody else ever got there. 23-year-old girl who was ate up with a meth addiction. And Kelly began to tell me how the Lord opened up the door for her to witness to her and talk to her and remind her that you don't have to live like this. You can be turned around. But, you know, it ain't about just trying to, you know, put a good foot forward and turn over a new leaf and I'm going to do good now. No, the only way you're going to change is through Jesus Christ. And you need to receive him into your life. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. And she told that young lady, you need the Lord. Oh, Lord. Been praying for her. You know, you may be here this morning. I don't know where you are in your life. You might not be on that extreme, but you know what? We all need Jesus. We all need the Lord. You may need him this morning to save your soul. If you're here this day, I want to just tell you, friend, he's here. He'll save you. If you'll just repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will save you. You may be here this morning and you feel like you are weighed down and by all of what's going on in your life. You are tensed up because of what you're walking through, and you have so many needs and you don't know what in the world to do. Friend, he will help you. He'll help meet those needs. Would you do me a favor and just bow your head? Everybody here, just bow your head. Close your eyes. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your help. Thank you for working on the hearts of people right now. Nobody looking around. Friend, you're here this morning, and what has you weighed down is sin. You're living away from the Lord. You're living apart from God because of sin in your life. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and sin separates us from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Friend, listen to me. You may be here and you think it's all too far gone for you. There's no hope for you. That's a lie from the devil. The Lord, just pray with me right now. I repent of my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn from them right now. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. You died on the cross in my place. I, by faith, trust that work that's been done. You were buried, and on the third day, you were raised back to life, and you're alive. And I believe that, God. My faith is in that work that you've done, God. And so I surrender everything to you now. I repent of my sins. There's a change in my mind. There's a change in my heart. There's a change in my feet. I'm going to live for you, God. I'm going to follow you, God. But I thank you that I'm on my way to heaven because my faith is in you. And I pray that prayer right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Nobody looking around, but if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you just made a recommitment to Christ, would you do me a favor and be bold enough right here in this moment and lift your hand? Would you do that? Lift your hand and say, that's me. I prayed that prayer today. God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. God bless you. How many of you are here this morning? You can look up at me. How many of you are here this morning and you'd be open and honest enough right now to say, you know what? There's some burdens in my life right now. There's some burdens in my life right now, and I need some wisdom. I need victory over some things. I need God to give compassion to me in these situations I'm in. I need God to give me peace. And there's some needs that I'm walking through, and I need God to do that for me in those needs. How many of you would say that's me today? Raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody? I see hands up all over the place. How about stand with me, please? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Will you do me a favor? Would you just lift your hands up to the heavens right now, everybody, especially those who indicated there's a need in their life? And would you begin to pray with me right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I declare that you are my wonderful counselor. You are, Lord, my mighty God. You are, Lord, the everlasting Father, my everlasting Father, ever present. You are the Prince of Peace. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to be overcome, Lord, because of what you've done for me. And Lord, I receive this word over my life right now. Lord, I give the burdens to you. I cast every burden over to you right now. Lord, the things that have my mind weighed down, the things that have my heart weighed down, the things that have my soul weighed down, I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. Lord, I place it to you right now. I cast it on to you right now. Lord, that you would lift, lift, lift. Lift the burdens off of your people. Lift them off, Lord. Lift it off, God. Lift the burden off of their heart. Lift the burden off of their family. Lift that burden off of their marriage. Lift that burden, God, off their children and their grandchildren, God. Lift it off, Lord. Oh, we declare it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Meet every need, Lord. Meet every need through the riches of your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, you know the needs. God, would you supply them right now, the need for healing, the need for strength, the need for encouragement. Lord, the need, Lord, for a miracle in my life. Lord, I pray for it. You're able, God. You're able, God. You're able, God. Come on, church, just begin to tell him God.